The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Take it away, Mr. Patterson.
Not that I'm taking this too seriously or anything, but the week of Dwayne continues. If you go to HughHewitt.com, there's now somebody who has done a graphic of the week of Dwayne, and it's up at HughHewitt.com and on my Twitter page, at Radio Blogger. Good morning, America. Dwayne Patterson wrapping up the week of Dwayne by filling in for Hugh. Hugh will be back actually in hour three to do the Hillsdale Dialogue with Dr. Larry Arnn. And then he's back next week. Lots of news ahead today. We're going to be talking to Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner a little bit later in the program. We will be doing movies with Sonny Bunch, a little bit of verse for the week with our poet laureate, Tarzana Joe. But there's lots of news. And we've been playing all sorts of clips from some of the important hearings in the House and the Senate all this week. And juxtaposing it with what media has been focusing on all week. And when I mean media, I mean legacy, Manhattan Beltway, mainstream media, whatever you want to call it. And their focus has been almost monolithically the Ron DeSantis, Fox News and or Tucker Carlson cabal of authoritarianism. And how awful it is and the threat to democracy it all poses. Well, with all of the hearings this week and all of the material that we've brought to you this week, nothing's going to be preparing you for what you're going to hear that happened yesterday in the House Weaponization Committee with Jim Jordan and the Democrats on that panel. That's going to happen a little bit later on in the program, too. But that if you didn't hear it, That is extended stupid on display. And we've got a long block of time, and we're just going to march through it just because you need to see and hear what the other side thinks, believes, and says. And it will surprise you, actually. Quickly in the news, Mexico rebukes GOP push to deploy U.S. military on cartels across the border. I played you some video this week from Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, as well as Tom Cotton from Arkansas. After the kidnapping, carjacking of four Americans that crossed into Mexico earlier in the week, two of those four were killed by the cartels, and there's some pushback. There's a lot of harsh language that maybe we should send the military in because Mexico doesn't seem to be able to control their side of the border. The cartels are out of control, and we have a failed state at the border. And so there are some GOP senators that want to do something about it. Mexico President Andres Manuel López Obrador, or in actuality, the cartel president, Obrador on Thursday pushed back against Republican lawmakers who had called on the Biden administration to take military action against drug cartels across the border following the killings of two Americans in Matamoros, saying such demands were a threat to Mexican sovereignty. No, sir. The cartels are a threat to Mexican sovereignty. You got that one wrong. Here, I fixed that for you. Quote, we are not going to allow any foreign government to intervene and much less foreign armed forces to intervene in our territory, López Obrador said at a news conference, adding that he would ask Americans of Mexican and Hispanic origin not to vote for Republicans if their aggression continued. So if we on this side of the border don't relax the rhetoric against the cartelistas on the border that are killing Americans and poisoning hundreds of thousands with fentanyl, why the president of the cartels and what's left of Mexico is going to signal to everybody that left the failed state to come here because it's a failed state. He's going to tell them, whatever you do, don't vote for Republicans. Well, thanks. That's really helpful. He is minimizing the impact of fentanyl and says it's not our problem, it's an American problem. It's your problem, not ours. We don't have anything to do with the stuff. Well, the ingredients come from the CCP. The ingredients to fentanyl come from China, but they're landing in Mexico and they're being produced, formulated, and distributed by the cartels. And apparently, Obrador is looking the other way. If you want to know what a failed state looks like, if you want to know what a corrupt government looks like, up close and personal, look south, and you'll find it. Speaking of corrupt and problematic, New York Times writing today, Xi Jinping solidified his status as China's most powerful leader in decades by sweeping into a new term as president on Friday, as he steals the country for an era of superpower rivalry and seeks to revive a battered economy. Here's a surprise. The CCP decided to basically let Xi Jinping be the leader for pretty much as long as he wants to be. News on this front. TikTok, the wildly popular Chinese-owned social media app, has hired top Biden-connected consulting firm SKDK as it faces increasing scrutiny in Washington, according to two people, including one with direct knowledge of the hire. The public affairs and political consulting firm is providing comms support to the company, which has come under government scrutiny. SKDK is seen as the most well-connected Democratic firm in Washington, with former top employees in senior and mid-level roles in the Biden administration.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Anita Dunn, you've heard that name a bunch of times before, a founding partner, returned to the White House last May, where she is senior advisor after a stint in the early part of the Biden administration and work on the president's 2020 campaign, along with former comm directors Kate Berner, Herbie Ziskin, Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh, and Interior Department Press Secretary Tyler Cherry. Just remember the old motto, 10% for the big guy. The Biden World Bank pick has Chinese business ties, raising vetting questions, Catherine Doyle writes in the Washington Examiner. President Joe Biden's nominee to lead the World Bank is vice chairman of a major investor in TikTok's Chinese parent company, his potential appointment coming as lawmakers push to ban the Beijing-owned video app. Ajay Banga's nomination has prompted questions about the White House's vetting process at a time when bipartisan backlash over China's suspected military and economic ambition grows. Yep, that's right. You know, if all else fails, just bring TikTok a little closer to the Biden administration. So what did they do this week to kind of move away from that? We have to talk about the budget. The budget that's DOA. It's deader than the bodies on the cart in Monty Python's Life of Brian. A $6.5 trillion, $2 trillion in brand new taxes. It's estimated it could raise the federal debt, if fully implemented, to $51 trillion. It's a non-starter. It's a disaster. But it's not going to sell itself. So they had to dust off Joe Biden, pull him out of the cryo tank, put him on a stage in Philly and put a mic in his hands. And here is what came out, cut number three.
That's why I took the most aggressive action ever in all of history in any country to take on the climate crisis by lowering your home energy bills. And that would bring us to down to everyday cost. How much do things cost? It's not just whether inflation. We brought down inflation.
We've lowered your utility bills. Electricity, by the way, is up 11.9% from last year. Fuel oil is up 27.7% from last year. Natural gas is up 26.7% from last year. And gas is a little over a buck higher than it was when Joe Biden took office. And it's going back up again of late. Cut four quickly.
And that would bring us to down to everyday cost. How much do things cost? It's not just whether inflation. We brought down inflation 7 months in a row. We're going to whip it.
You know, but inflation is still at 6.4%, right? And that's 6.4% on top of about, what, 9% of what it was from the year before? It's not going down. It may be climbing at a little slower rate. But everything today costs more than it cost a month ago, which costs more than a month before that. And it's all because Joe Biden doesn't know how not to spend your money. Dwayne Patterson for Hugh Hewitt. More right after the break. Welcome back, America. Dwayne Patterson in for Hugh Hewitt. It is Friday. It is the first hour. And even though Hugh is not here, it is time for the movies. It's time to lighten up a little bit and discuss all things cinema. And so we bring in our movie critic, the official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show, who is paid for in airline miles. But that is only if his predictions are any good and he doesn't fail to warn us about bad movies. Sonny Bunch of the Bulwark. You can see and listen to Sonny's podcast, Bulwark Goes to Hollywood and Across the Movie Aisle. Hello, Sonny. How you doing?
I'm good, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm doing grand. So I'm guessing we're doing Creed 3 this week? Is that what we're doing?
Well, you know, Creed 3 came out last week. Big hit. You know, people excited about the Creed franchise. They love Creed. Are you a Rocky fan, Dwayne? Are you a Rocky franchise fan?
I have seen a couple of the. To me, you've seen one Rocky, you've seen them all, right? I mean, it's like to me, it's like watching a James Bond film, right? It's kind of the same movie, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, you're not going to go wrong with that theory on the Rocky movie. So Creed 3 is also basically Rocky 9, if you want to look at it that way. You know, this is the third spin-off movie from the Rocky franchise, which itself had six entries. It's the first one without Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone is not in this at all, which is, you know, the first time that's happened. There was a contract dispute between him and the producer. He wanted to get basically control of the franchise back from him. He had problems with the creative direction of this most recent one and wanted it back, which is weird because, again, as you mentioned, you know, it's all the Rocky movies are kind of the same.
Same movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean this one picks up at the end of Adonis Creed's career. He's about to retire. He's got one last fight left. He wins. He retires, and then he has to get back into the ring. Can you believe it? He has to get back into the ring.
They always do, right?
Exactly. He's got a former friend, the guy who went to prison for him, is now the world heavyweight champion and is calling him out and he's saying bad things about him and he's got to go fight him and reclaim his honor. It's an interesting movie because it treats Adonis. I don't want to overstate this, but it does kind of treat Adonis Creed like almost the bad guy of the movie, but it doesn't want Adonis Creed to be the bad guy of the movie. So the setup here. Again, Adonis has retired. He's now a promoter. He's basically Don King. and he has his own stable of fighters, and his number one guy, he throws him into the ring against this old friend of his who is just out to hurt people. He's just out to destroy the world. He's like the Joker. He wants to watch the world burn, right?
Right.
The friend ends up beating his fighter. But, you know, this is the sort of thing that you do when you're a bad promoter who doesn't actually care about any of the people he is representing. You don't throw a championship fighter into the ring against an unknown quantity, right? You don't, as a placeholder fight, even. I mean, it's not even plausible,
is what you're saying. The actual premise isn't really that plausible.
Right. It reminds me of the first Rocky a little bit, right? The first Rocky, right, what's the setup there? Apollo Creed is champion. He's got nobody left to fight, so he decides to take a chance on a down on his luck Palooka, Rocky Balboa, and Rocky ends up going the distance with him. Rocky ends up losing, but he goes the distance, right? And that's the whole point of that movie. This is the same kind of thing, right? Adonis is like, well, my dad did this once for Rocky, and it was a dangerous play, but we're going to do it again. And he ends up getting his fighter, the guy who is in his stable of fighters, not even his friend. He almost ends up getting that guy killed. Again, it's an irresponsible thing to do. It's a bad thing to do, and it's the sort of thing you only do if you're looking out for yourself. You're just trying to get a payday for yourself as a promoter to keep the money train rolling.
So within its lane, within the premise of what a Rocky movie is, which is every other Rocky movie, is at least an entertaining couple of hours. Is it something people should go watch in the theater?
Look, if you like Rocky movies, you'll like this. It's fine. It's a perfectly entertaining film. I liked it. It's okay. But it's also it's a huge hit. It had the biggest opening of any movie in the Rocky franchise ever last weekend. Audiences seem to like it. It's got an A- from CinemaScore. So
has it outpaced Cocaine Bear?
What's that?
Has it outpaced Cocaine Bear?
It's better. It's doing better than Cocaine Bear. This is a bona fide franchise hit. Cocaine Bear is also, you know, fine. It's fine. If that's again, Cocaine Bear does a very smart thing, which is that it gives people exactly what it promised. It promised that there would be a bear on cocaine, and it gave people that.
It's the Snakes on a Plane of 23.
Exactly. Very similar in terms of the title says what it is. It's the women talking of Cocaine Bear movies.
Yes.
You get exactly what's there in the title, which is fine. You know, this is one of the mistakes, I think, of the new movie out this weekend, 65, which folks saw the trailer for during the Super Bowl and were kind of like, what is this? But the plot of 65 is that it's actually 65 million years ago, and Adam Driver is an
Oh, I do remember seeing this trailer. Okay, I know which one you're talking about now. Okay.
So Adam Driver comes to Earth, and his spaceship crashes, and there's one survivor from the spaceship, and it turns out he's on Earth, and it's 65 million years ago, and he's got to fight dinosaurs to survive. So 65, again, it kind of a weird title, because on the one hand, it does just promise that it's 65 million years ago. On the other, the ads that you've seen, it's basically being pitched as Adam Driver fights dinosaurs. And there's not nearly enough Adam Driver fighting dinosaurs in this movie for my own personal taste. I feel like this movie needed at least 40% more Adam Driver versus dinosaur fights.
Does he have a lightsaber? Does he have space travel implements of destruction? Because it wouldn't be a fair fight for the dinosaurs.
Well, he's got a space rifle. He's got a space rifle that shoots space bullets.
Okay, so he's got kind of a blaster. He's got kind of a Han Solo blaster.
kind of. It's more of an assault rifle than a pistol. You know, it's a handy weapon. I mean, he uses it to take down several very large dinosaurs.
Okay.
So this is the other real problem with the movie. It's not just so the setup here is Adam Driver, little girl survivor. They have to survive against the dinosaurs. Well, really, what it is kind of a almost parental melodrama. You know, he is taught to love again by her. She represents the daughter that he has lost in the rest of his life. He has to save her, and it's kind of there are kind of cute, funny moments where, you know, she's acting like a little girl, he's acting like a annoyed dad. You any parent will recognize some of the emotions that he is going through.
You know what this sounds like it would be to me? This sounds to me like what a movie would be if Jon Favreau and Steven Spielberg decided to redo Jurassic Park.
It's not wrong. I mean, you're treading on dangerous ground when you decide to make a movie that prominently features Tyrannosaurus Rex attacks, because you're inviting comparisons to Jurassic Park. And look, this movie's no Jurassic Park. It's hard to say exactly what's wrong with this movie, except for the fact that it is just kind of boring. It's the cardinal sin of being just kind of boring.
Boring is bad for a dinosaur movie.
Right. I mean, the action scenes themselves are just kind of boring. You know, we live in this kind of John Wickified age of action, right, where you have these great set pieces that are put together that are designed very well by stunt teams and stunt coordinators, and they are exciting and they're fun, and they take place in a world that is kind of realistic but not that realistic. You know, another movie like this in this vein is Bullet Train, right? Same basic idea.
Right.
We have these great action ideas, and this is almost a throwback to a very bad time in action, you know, the late 2000s, early 2010s, when everything is just like kind of straightforward CGI, and it's a lot of like running around and pointing and shooting at things that clearly aren't there. It is not very exciting.
Okay, so I got one more I want to do with you, and so just a quick up or down. I know you're kind of torn on this one. See it or not see it?
I think you can skip it. It's a movie, if you're really interested in it, you can watch it at home without missing a whole lot.
This one isn't out yet, but the trailer for it is very intriguing to me. This is no hard feelings. You have a piece about this up on Twitter right now, at Sunny Bunch. We got to talk about this for a second, because let me give you my theory on this. This is a movie, looking at the trailer that got dropped. This is the new Jennifer Lawrence movie that's going to be out this summer, right? It's going to be one of the, quote, summer comedy blockbusters. At least they're attempting it to be. No hard feelings. It looks to me like every funny scene is probably in the trailer. However, most guys are going to find a way to create a diversion from the relationship they're in to go excuse themselves for about 2.5-3 hours to go sneak out and watch it, and they're probably going to laugh silly. That's my theory.
Yeah, so the premise of this movie, for folks who haven't seen the trailer, is Jennifer Lawrence plays a down-on-her-luck woman who loses her car, and to get a new car and get a new job, she is tasked with sleeping.
About 30 seconds, son. You got to go quick. 30 seconds.
Right. It definitely looks like a kind of a sexy rom-com. Definitely a chance that a lot of the jokes are in the trailer, but we'll see. We'll see.
It looks like a rehash of Failure to Launch, actually, to me, but with a lot more coarse language. Sunny Bunch, Across the Movie Aisle and Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. You can also read everything at Sunny Bunch and link through. Thank you very much. Dwayne Patterson in for Hugh. We'll be back with Tarzana Joe right after the break. Stick around. Millions of kids are lucky if they get one decent meal a day. That's where Food for the Poor makes the biggest impact, with your help. 855-359-HOPE. 855-359-4673. Or you can text Hugh to 91999. That actually may be the quickest and easiest way, actually. Texting Hugh to 91999. Right there on your phone, you can do it right now. You can, of course, go to the web. Go to HughHewitt.com. There's a banner that loads. If you just give it a couple seconds, it'll load at the top of the page, HughHewitt.com. But text Hugh to 91999. Welcome back, America. Dwayne Patterson. One last segment to go on today's Hugh Hewitt Show, at least for me. Hugh will be back at the top of the hour with Dr. Larry Arnn of Hillsdale. I'm joined by Sarah C. Westwood of the Washington Examiner, congressional and investigative reporter extraordinaire. Hello, Sarah. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So did you perchance watch any of the weaponization committee yesterday and all the fun that we learned out of that from House Democrats? I want to play there was a whole bunch there that was really interesting to me, especially when you've got those noted conservative reporters, Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger on the dais. Here is Representative Stacey Plaskett, cut 14, Jacob.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have called before you two witnesses who pose a direct threat to people who oppose them.
Sarah Westwood, your brethren within the D.C. Manhattan Beltway Corps, they seem to think that all authoritarianism and totalitarianism is emanating from Fox News and Tucker Carlson and Ron DeSantis. But where are they with all this stuff that we heard yesterday?
They're nowhere to be found. I mean, the incuriosity from some of my colleagues in the media is just sort of baffling because, you know, what's at the heart of the Twitter files, what was at the heart of the testimony from those journalists yesterday is really concerning about Twitter having created this formal system to allow the government to sort of police speech. And, you know, Matt Taibbi called it thought policing, through Twitter and allow the intelligence agencies to sort of control what information could be out there while maintaining this lie that they're a private company, that it's acting neutrally in public, and when that was not the case. I mean, it's a really concerning thing to have happen. And, you know, this is a regime that sort of treats all dissent as like threatening opposition. And that's kind of what you heard the ranking member talking about there.
But outside of, you know, a couple of places, you know, at the Examiner, your colleagues at the Examiner, outside of a couple of conservative outlets, does anybody in legacy media understand the irony of the media coverage this week versus the reality of that hearing yesterday?
Well, I think that they don't care is the thing. You know, they have sort of found this productive alliance with the government, you know, with Democrats in power. Exposing the way that works really works against their interests in a lot of ways, because these arms now are all sort of working together, right? The corporate media,
absolutely,
big tech, and so why would they want to disturb an arrangement that's working pretty well for them? But they're not content even to let, you know, conservative journalists or conservative speakers have even their little corner of society. They just want them totally
eliminated,
you know, gone from
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly right. Speaking of eliminated, it's not going to see the light of day so long as Kevin McCarthy is Speaker of the House. But Joe Biden dropped his budget. I saw some estimates are if he got his will in this budget, it would the federal debt would look something like $51 trillion when all is said and done. There is a piece over the Washington Examiner right now by Sarah Westwood that has six takeaways. Sarah, why don't you give us a couple that you think are of note that we need to know about?
Well, you know, I think it's a wish list, right, for President Biden and all things that he plans to run on. One of the things that sort of stuck out to me is that, you know, he got nearly $400 billion for climate clean energy projects in the Inflation Reduction Act that Democrats passed last year. And yet this contained just hundreds of billions more for more and more climate projects. I mean, it was a huge focus of the budget. Every federal agency had billions of dollars going towards some sort of climate or environmental justice, project or something of that nature. So that the whole climate agenda has really overtaken so much of what the federal government is doing, even when you're not just talking about what's going on at the Department of Energy or EPA. So that was a big one. And you know, the Biden administration is claiming that this is would be a deficit reduction budget, but that relies on a set of tax cuts that, tax hikes, that have really no chance of passing Congress. But some of this big spending stuff does, and that is going to sort of blow up the deficit.
Yeah, I think so, too. When you went through it to write this piece, looking at least partially through the budget, did you get to the part about the student loan forgiveness program?
You know, the Biden administration hasn't loved talking about that. That wasn't one of my takeaways.
That's because it's not in there. They're just pretending that doesn't exist.
Well, I think there's a realistic expectation of that being struck down in court, and the Biden administration doesn't seem to be fighting that hard to keep
it
alive.
Yeah, I think so too. Read everything that Sarah writes over at the Washington Examiner, and you can link through it and on Twitter at Sarah C. Westwood. Sarah, great stuff as always. Great to have you on the show. We will talk again next week with you. I am Duane Patterson. The week of Duane has now concluded. I turn things over to the show's rightful owner, Hugh Hewitt.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.